And speaking of the military, boy, the Pentagon budget is a huge basket of money, and within which there may be some savings that would come close to the $200 billion of savings a bipartisan deficit reduction commission has recommended over the weekend. Hard decisions in those recommendations. Will Congress take some of those hard decisions? Well, probably not, possibly not. But we're going to take hard decisions here on The Takeaway as we look at what could possibly be cut. Today, the military budget is our focus, and retired Army Colonel Paul Hughes joins us from the U.S. Institute of Peace. He's on the line from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning, John.
Let's take a couple of scenarios which feel maybe intuitively to some Americans, possibly even to me, as low-hanging fruit in the Pentagon budget. Earlier this week, we talked about savings of $14 billion or so in crop subsidies, $17 billion or so in foreign aid. You got some really big bucks at the Pentagon. Let's start right off the bat. We could save about $86 billion if we just ended the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, or even reduced the troops to, say, 30,000. First of all, is that easy to do, and would we actually get those savings?
Well, quite frankly, when you come to national security policy decisions like this, you have to weigh your anticipated outcomes that you're there to begin with, you know, that you're fighting to begin with, and then the costs for those outcomes. And sure, we could end the wars today, but that still will not mitigate the threats to the United States from Al-Qaeda or other organizations.
Now, if there was an Afghan base on Governor's Island or Staten Island or, you know, in Bermuda or something, I think I'd be a lot more worried than the fact that Afghanistan is halfway around the world, as, you know, Vietnam was. We ended that war. Why not just save those $86 billion and worry about defense closer to the homeland?
Well, the fact is America has interests in every region of the world, and in this particular region, sure, we could walk away from Afghanistan, but what does that then mean for Pakistan? And Americans need to understand it's really Pakistan that's the real big issue here.
Right.
You have a failing state in Pakistan, at least in my personal view, you have a failing state in Pakistan, one that cannot control every activity that goes on within its borders. It's a nuclear-armed country. It's an extremely paranoid country. And if that fell to an extremist group, there would be all hell to pay.
All right.
When we get that kind of mixture of terrorism and nuclear weapons.
Okay, let me concede then. We can't save that $86 billion, but let's go to the other way. Because Pakistan and Afghanistan is particularly relevant to U.S. policy and defense right now. What about some of the deployments of troops that are not particularly relevant? Let's close all the foreign bases like Incirlik in Turkey, or get all of the troops out of the demilitarized zone in Korea, or bring all the troops home from Germany. Could we do that? We'd probably save about $70 billion there.
Well, let me first correct something there. We have no troops in the demilitarized zone in Korea. That's why it's called a demilitarized zone. But, yeah, we could save some money on some of those things. There are some political costs to those decisions. The basing of American troops in foreign countries is not so much relevant to just a military strategy. It's to the political strategy of the United States. We're going to have a meeting in Lisbon this coming week where NATO is going to be talking about a variety of different things. But one of the basic facts that underpins NATO's ability to work together is the fact that American troops are in Europe, and it's a visible demonstration of America's commitment to the defense of Europe.
All right, I hear you saying we probably could bring them home.
Mm-hmm.
It would hurt, but we could do it.
Yeah. Let's not be penny wise and pound foolish on this issue here. The real savings are not going to be in bringing troops home. It's going to be in reforming the United States military itself. I mean, when you look at where we're going to be in 20 years, it's not going to be Europe. It's not going to be the Middle East. It's going to be East Asia. It's going to be the Western Pacific, where you don't need a lot of ground forces. Okay, we have 570,000 soldiers, give or take a few, in the Army today. Those could be reduced. That force structure could be reduced because in the Far East, you know,
by how much?
I don't have a solid figure, but I think that probably 200,000 is a good guess.
And that would save billions.
It would save a lot of money. Additionally, it's not just reducing those forces. You need to still provide for the common defense, as the Constitution says. You need to restructure the laws that govern our use of the reserve components.
Right.
If you're going to bring these troops out of the active component and put them into the reserves, you better have a way of making the reserves relevant to the needs of the 21st century and not the Cold War, as the law has now constructed.
Or keep them from showing up in the unemployment rate, right?
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it.
That is one way to look at it. All right, finally, could we cut the Navy in half if we're going to be doing mostly in the 21st century wars on the ground in these asymmetric conflicts like Afghanistan? Why not just save $19 billion, cut the Navy in half?
No. In fact, when you're talking about the Western Pacific, you're talking about a maritime-based strategy. And the recently concluded Quadrennial Defense Review independent panel concluded that the Navy is too small as it is right now. That we're going to have to put more reliance on our sea power if we're going to cut down on our manpower. And one other thing I would add is that there needs to be a reform of the military's health care policies.
How many billions there?
Oh, you could save a lot of money there. Right now, the cost of health care per service member in the military between the years of 1981 and 2009 has gone up 413%.
Which is more politically sensitive before we go, cutting health care for troops or cutting aircraft carriers for the Navy?
I think it's going to be cutting health care for troops because there are other issues tied to it, such as extending the career patterns for soldiers and things of that nature.
All right. A lot of money in the Pentagon budget, a lot of issues related to cutting some of that big infrastructure there out of the Pentagon. Retired Army Colonel Paul Hughes from the U.S. Institute of Peace in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Thank you very much, Colonel.
Thank you, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.